This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NBA Finals get going on Thursday this week. Patience, everybody. They'll be here soon enough. The Golden State Warriors hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 1. It is the three match, they're calling it, as the rubber match between these two teams who have each taken one title over the last couple years from the other one. Joining us now to help break it down, does a fantastic job covering the NBA for CBSSports.com, and you can find him on Twitter, at HP Basketball. Matt Moore joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening, my man. How you doing?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. So we were talking earlier in the show. It almost feels like, from LeBron's perspective, that the last 3 years, it's been like it's been scripted by a wrestling promoter almost. You know, 2 years ago, his teammates are all injured, and he almost carried them on their back to the title. Last year, down 3-1, he's able to bring them all the way back. How do you make it harder for him this year to win a championship? Well, you go put Kevin Durant on the Golden State Warriors. If the Cavaliers are able to pull this off, Matt, can you put into perspective what the last two, and maybe even include the first year he was in Cleveland as well, put into perspective what LeBron would have accomplished versus other greats?
I mean, it's unprecedented. You know, you look at it, and it's impossible to really look at this and say that any of the true greats that we've seen in the game have faced the circumstances of opponents that LeBron has during the stretch. I mean, he beat a team that literally won the most games in NBA history with 73 last year, and he did so after falling behind 3-1, which, you know, to a degree that shows how vulnerable the Cavaliers are. They fell down 3-1. At the same time, to rally like that takes an unbelievable amount of resiliency, not only from LeBron, but from what he inspires in the Cavaliers. Obviously, there have been great NBA teams before, the Lakers in the 80s, the Celtics in the 80s, and Jordan's Bulls. And there were good teams that Jordan faced throughout that stretch. Peyton Sonics, the Malone Stockton Jazz, Barkley's Suns, etc. But really nothing like this. If he's able to pull this off, he will have beaten the best regular season team that we have ever seen, and then an even better form. Because this Warriors team, quite honestly, if you want to look at how the playoffs are played, they've been even better. They have more weapons. It is an unbelievable idea to think that he could go through this kind of run and come out with two titles.
Yeah, and I want to get into the Warriors in just a second. I mean, we know what's different for the Warriors this year versus last year. Kevin Durant's on the team now. Steph Curry's healthy. Those are the two biggest things. In your mind, what's the biggest difference in this year's Cavaliers finals team versus last year's Cavaliers finals team?
There's been this evolution over the past 3 years that we've seen this Cavs team. In the first year, they were kind of a traditional playoff team. They were built on defense and size, Timofey Mozgov, and, you know, Dellavedova bringing them something off the bench and then having to step up when Irving went down. They had more veteran players. They had a reliance on size and defense. This Cavaliers team is the worst that we've seen defensively, though they've obviously had a good performance throughout these playoffs, particularly Kevin Love. But if you look at it, here's a shocker for you. The Cavaliers have a higher three-point rate than the Warriors do coming in. Yeah. The Cavs take more three-pointers per 100 possessions per game and as a percentage of their total overall offense than Golden State does. They have slowly adapted and tried to stay ahead of the curve with Golden State by adding more and more shooters, Kyle Korver, Channing Frye. They have plans, obviously, to add Andrew Bogut before his injury, but because of his absence, they're even more reliant on the three-pointer. This is going to be a series largely defined by whether or not the Cavaliers can keep up that three-point barrage to stay ahead of the Warriors offensively. And with that comes, obviously, defensive limitations, and that's where they're going to be challenged as well.
Matt Moore, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio, talking some NBA Finals. I feel like we get so caught up in talking about LeBron's big picture legacy with him, LeBron and Jordan, all those things that everybody will be tired of by the time Thursday rolls around probably. But Kevin Durant, what does this series mean to him from an historical perspective?
you know, if he's able to go out and win finals MVP and they're dominant, he's got a shot at least being able to make a claim that he's the best player in the NBA right now. That seems preposterous from what we know of LeBron. But if LeBron struggles, for whatever reason, Durant's got to at least have a claim there, and that's what he's been chasing for years. And even if he doesn't get there, the title is going to validate his decision to go to Golden State. He's going to be considered one of the all-time greats. He's already likely punched his Hall of Fame ticket, but it's going to cement it absolutely. And it means that he really is one of the all-time greats that we've seen, because Durant has been overshadowed by first LeBron and the rise of this Warriors team. And this is a guy that has won scoring titles and MVP. He is one of the most efficient shooters that we've ever seen, in a time in which we've seen some pretty efficient shooters amongst his teammates even. He's an unbelievable scorer, but he's also one of the best multifaceted players in the league. He embraced that in a way that other stars, like, say, Carmelo Anthony, never did. He's a great defender. He's an excellent passer. He's able to contribute in all of these ways beyond his scoring. If he adds a title to that, it's going to really make him one of the greats, and it's going to set him up for a run that's going to give him his own chance to go up the ranks of those all-time great players, though he will be, of course, having to go against the perception that he made it too easy on himself by joining this Warriors team.
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough thing, I know, for folks to get around, is the manner in which he goes and gets a championship. Along those lines, who has the most pressure on the individual? Who has the most pressure on them in this series, if you had to pick a player?
I'm going to say Draymond Green. You know, I wrote about him for a column that's up today on CBS Sports you can read, and one of the things is, you can make an argument, and I don't buy into this because I think that LeBron was locked into an entirely different level, and so was Kyrie, but you could make an argument that Draymond Green literally cost them the title last year with his suspension. That was on him, and whether he, you know, thinks it's fair or not, that's what happened. Is he got suspended, and the Warriors' perception is they would have won the title had that not occurred. So he has he has pressure in the series to not only control his emotions and not be the reason that costs them the title. He's got to defend LeBron James at times when Kevin Durant is on other assignments. He's got to help defend against LeBron James. He's going to have to defend Kevin Love, who is having his best playoff run and really overall season of his career. And he's going to have to make threes. He's shooting an unbelievable 47% in the playoffs. He's been unbelievably lights out. But the Cavs are still going to dare him to make those shots, and they're going to leave him open. And when that happens, sometimes he tends to freeze up and overthink the shot or miss it. That's going to be crucial for him. I think Draymond's got an unbelievable amount of pressure on him, and he's put that there with how much he trash talks, which is what makes him so fascinating.
Yeah, no question. Matt Moore, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, Steve Kerr is likely not going to be on the bench for these finals. If there's an area where Steve Kerr's absence rears its head, could that be an area? You know, Steve Kerr has sort of been kind of the calming influence, or tries to be at least, I think, on Draymond Green when it gets that way. Could that be an area where Steve Kerr's absence on the bench during the game shows itself? And if not, is there another area that you could think of where Steve Kerr's absence may show itself in this series?
Yeah, I think the big thing with Kerr is that he's a calming influence on the team. He knows when to deploy Andre Iguodala to settle things down. He knows when to take time out and when to communicate to them that they're getting too happy chasing those big shots that they like to go for. They go for these massive momentum swings, and when it works, it's great, but they sometimes try a little too hard to force it, and then they get into bad situations offensively, which leads to defensive breakdowns, and it all goes from there. Kerr does a great job of keeping them steady and balanced, and so his absence, I think, in this series is going to be felt most in that area, because, you know, Mike Brown just doesn't know these guys as well. He hasn't been around as long. He's been around the game long enough. He knows how to handle rotations. Much of that is stuff that Steve Kerr is going to have an influence on anyway. A lot of the decisions that he's going to have to make are things that Kerr will consult on or make himself. But those in-game moments where you have to get the feel of your team and get them settled and back to their core while also not denying them what makes them great, which is the joy and passion that they play with, that's a delicate balance that Kerr has managed to both manage and unlock. And it's going to be a challenge, I think, for Mike Brown to do the same.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm probably overstating it a little bit, but given how much time he's spent around LeBron James in his career, Mike Brown probably knows the Cleveland Cavaliers, or at least the parts that matter, as much as he knows these Golden State Warriors that he's coaching in these NBA Finals. Matt Moore joining me on CBS Sports Radio. outside of the all-star players in this series, Matt, the four for Golden State and the three for Cleveland, if you had to pick a player who's an X-factor, we've seen X-factors win MVPs in the finals with these two teams before with Iguodala. Who's an X-factor for either side in this series in your mind?
Tristan Thompson. You know, I rank the most important players in this series by their importance, and Thompson was actually above Draymond because of how important he is to the Cavaliers. And he's above Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, and I'm not even kidding here. Look, Tristan Thompson has to be able to defend against the Warriors' cuts. The Warriors have one of the best cut systems in the NBA. They get easy points all of the time. The Cavaliers, on the other hand, give up a ton of cut opportunities because they're overplaying three-pointers and they fall asleep on the backside a little bit. Thompson cleans all that up. He's going to have to battle for that stuff. He's going to have to dominate on the glass. He's going to have to be able to switch effectively on to both Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant, which is a huge responsibility. Tristan Thompson is going to have to be absolutely phenomenal in the series for the Cavaliers to have a chance. He's a guy that you really need to watch out for. He's capable of it. He's had big playoff series before.
Have you gotten on the record yet with who you think is going to win this thing?
Coming out tomorrow, but I can go ahead and let you know. I don't think it's too much of a secret. I like Warriors in six. I have Warriors in five going into the playoffs. And then I just think LeBron's been so dominant, I've given him another game. That's how much I respect LeBron James, that he gets another game on these Warriors, which still feels like disrespecting him because of how great he really is and how good Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving and this Cavs team has been in the playoffs. But at the end of it, all the X's and O's and all the matchups and all the way they know each other and all of it, and you just get back to, man, they've got Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, and they added Kevin Durant. That's just too much to overcome.
Last thing, is this assembly of talent in these NBA finals the greatest that we've seen in a finals, or if you compare it to, say, Lakers-Celtics, have you gone through those machinations at all yet?
It's funny you mention that. We have an article coming out this week on that exact same subject. We just got done debating that in our email thread. I will say that the 87 Celtics-Lakers series is the one that I think everyone is kind of is settled on as being the best. There are a lot of great candidates, though. I think a lot of these series get overlooked with what they brought to the table. Going back through things like, I think to me, one of the ones that's underrated is that 2013 Heat-Spurs series. That's still the best finals I've ever seen in terms of actual execution. Like these finals between the Cavs and Warriors have a lot of star talent, but they haven't necessarily been very well played. That series in 2013 was flawless basketball. It was high intensity and great drama between Hall of Famers all over the place. We can only hope that this series lives up to that kind of billing.
It's what everybody's been waiting for, that's for sure. You know, aesthetically, I think people are really hoping for a great finals. Certainly it'll be hotly contested, no doubt about that. Matt Moore, CBSSports.com. As Matt mentioned, some stuff coming out on CBSSports.com this week, but also the 20 awesome things to know for the three match is a piece that Matt put up late last week that is a great primer. If you just want to get ready for the finals, it is a great primer to get ready for all the different aspects of these NBA finals. Matt, keep up the great work, and we will do it again soon. Enjoy the games.
Anytime, man. Thanks so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.